Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go.
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Cleveland has no hitters. A bunch of Punch and Judy hitters is what we call them in our day. You punch and then you run like Judy.
I say wimpy, wompy, wambly.
Jeff Lutz.
Yeah, so we're sexist now. That's cool.
We like it.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's awesome, baby.
All right. Welcome back. Hour number two, Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Jeff out today. He says it's for purposes of taking care of his home. I believe it's probably more for purposes of watching his Cleveland Guardians, who currently trail Detroit 1-0. Not much scoring in this series.
Well, it is the lesser of the four playoff series, as I alluded to earlier.
You did allude to that, and I feel like I'm betraying my son if I agree with you. But I also feel like I'm betraying common sense and intelligence if I don't. So I don't know. It's 2-0 now in favor of Detroit. They scored a run in the third. So, boy, what a beautiful day. Boy, October. Why can't all the months be like October?
Best month of the year, my birthday month.
Although
fall,
it's been kind of hot here.
Miserable, but we got a weather pattern change coming on Sunday. We'll be hitting down to the 60s and 70s. Just so you know.
But then it won't be long till we're in the 30s and 40s.
Which is even better.
Really? You like
that? Early blizzard. I'm an East Coast North. I grew up in the Northeast.
You did.
I like that stuff. Hey, since you've mentioned it, I've already done it twice today. How many times do you mistakenly say the Cleveland Indians or the Washington Redskins? Because I know I've done
it. Did I say it?
No, you didn't, but I'm wondering, do you still find yourself catching
I've gotten to the point where I don't do it anymore.
Because I have this mistake where I constantly call the Wind Surge the Wingnuts. Having, you know, it's a similar name. Mm-hmm. I worked for the Wingnuts. And people have actually done it to me, too. I was like, actually, it's the Wind Surge. But that's one thing that I still can't get right.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore. I did it for maybe a few months, but I just kind of correct myself. I like the Washington Commanders. I like their story. I like their quarterback. I like the fact that a franchise that's been bad for so long finally gets rid of an idiot owner and they start to figure it out. And that franchise has a lot of rich history. To me, that's one of the big stories of the year. And they play Baltimore this week, which will be the game of the week in the NFL.
Well, go Washington, but it's also easy to like Washington because it's so easy to hate New York, Philadelphia, and Dallas.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But Baltimore, Washington, you know, besides being, what, a 45-minute train ride,
yeah.
that's a tremendous game coming up. And when we get the boys together tomorrow, we'll pick that game.
I feel like it's in Baltimore. Am I correct?
It is in Baltimore.
Well, go Washington as a AFC North guy.
Yeah, you saw him up close and personal, and you know, we had a lot of rookie quarterbacks coming into the league this year. It looks like Caleb Williams is figuring it out a little bit with the Chicago Bears, but boy, Jaden Daniels is there. It looks like he's the next big one.
Well, and it's kind of again, I'm a repetitive person sometimes, but it, you know, going back 3 years to the Bengals when Joe Burrow was that new quarterback and, you know, Ja'Marr Chase was that new, you know, the Bengals weren't built with any stars the year they went to the Super Bowl. CG Uzama, tight end. You know, nobody on Washington is a star. And they talk about it all the time. They're kind of their no-name defense, and they're doing it with just the young guys.
Yeah, it's fun. So tell us a little bit about your team. You got Travis Clayton now on board as one of your coaches, former, of course, Thunder legend. Tell us a little bit about the personnel. What's your team look like? And what? How much can you really tell about how good or how much of a contender you have here before you really see them?
Well, Coach told me we had a great practice today.
Oh, that's not good.
Actually, I told myself. I went down to see the boys today, and, you know, I think I might have touched on it briefly but at the beginning of the show, but, you know, I can't, you know, it's tough to give an answer, and the answer always gives, well, you know what, we got Jay Dickman back, we got Mikel Stanell back. I mean, Dickman's one of the best players in the league. Mikel Stanell's one of the best and one of the fastest players in the league. And we have Bates back from last year. Peter Bates last year at the All-Star break was the leading scorer in the entire league. And then, as unfortunately as some things go these days, the European leagues raid our league for the best players to pay them twice as much to play half as many games for the last 2 months of the season. And he chose to go over to Europe. And a great kid. And I actually want to throw him a bone. Because this summer he called Coach. He's like, I know I left you last year and went to Europe, but I'd really like to come back if you'll have me. So It was really nice, and he's a great guy, and we're happy to have him back. So we've got three great scorers. We had a rookie last year named Kobe Walker that Travis Clayton actually recruited for us last year as we were in discussions about bringing him in, and turned out to be one of our – just a stud. Turned out to be awesome, and in a month was almost a point-of-game guy, and fans love him. So he's back. So, you know, you've got a good base. Got a lot of our defensemen back. So there's your first part. Part two, you got to have some good rookies. Coach feels we have some good rookies. I can't really comment to that because they're rookies and he's recruited them, and I'm not that familiar. Part three is going to be your affiliation. And, you know, as we were talking about earlier, baseball and hockey affiliations are completely different. Baseball, the Minnesota Twins are feeding the AAA team, which is who?
Yeah.
Who? St. Paul, and they're filling the Windsurge roster. All the coach has to do is show up and, you know, for lack of a better statement, show up and coach the team. Well, not at this league. Depending upon who your affiliate is, what their budget is, what their payroll is, what their farm system looks like, you're going to get between 1 and 12 players assigned to you. So, you know, the Kansas Cities of our league, Cincinnati and Wheeling, they have a large part of their roster assigned to them by their NHL team because they have a deep farm system. So, God bless them. That's one thing we're going to have to deal with.
So, MLB has four teams and then Dominican leagues.
Yeah.
They have all these players coming to them, and it's their responsibility. Why is it not the responsibility of the NHL franchises?
Well, it's just
too much money.
It's money, sure, one thing, but hockey's just never been set up the way because there's never been up until a few years ago, there were two AAA leagues and there were at one point five AA leagues, and they all had different salary caps and rules. They were never on the same page. I mean, you know, AA's AA, right? AAA's AAA. The hockey's never been that organized. They're getting to that way now that there's 32 NHL teams, there's 32 AHL teams. Our league is currently at 29 with some expansion teams on the horizon.
Ooh, expansion team.
Yeah, I know. I actually thought that it would be announced soon, but that's all I can say.
You can't say anything else?
No, I definitely can't.
Oh, my ears perked up.
I'll tell you what, the fines are big enough that I'm not saying anything. So there's no clear – okay, so there's your biggest reason. There's no 32-32-32. So you can't have that where, okay, so great. So two teams in the ECHR, three teams don't have an affiliate, you know, if you do it that way. So I think the goal is to get to a 32-32-32 system, and I think maybe that'll help to some respect. But you know, it's a Canadian thing, it's a United States thing. It's hockey's different. You know, hockey's not as, you know, like baseball, the national pastime. Now it's a lot more popular than it was, but just too many what ifs, too many different things. Right now, you know, we went way off track, but you know, right now we've got five guys coming from San Jose. They get in today at 5:08. If you want to go greet them at the airport, feel free. They'll be carrying a San Jose Sharks bag, so you'll know who they are. But one of the players we're getting is Aaron Dell, who's a goaltender who's been in the NHL for the last several years. Our fans certainly know him because I actually just read something about it online as I was looking some things. And he beat us in Game 7 of the CHL Finals in 2013 with the Allen Americans. Went his way up to the NHL all that time, and he was brought back to San Jose to add some depth to their system, and he's coming down. So, you know, probably what we could use the most is offense. But Coach says our defense is tremendous, and you got a veteran goaltender like that. Maybe we're going to be one of those teams that wins with defense.
Maybe so.
Apparently, defense wins, right? That's what they always say. No one ever says offense wins.
They've always said that.
That's what they say.
I like teams that have some offense, too, but that's, you know, that's just me.
We have some.
I know. You'll have some offense. The guys will be carrying sticks out there, I'm sure.
They will.
In a week from Friday, the Thunder opens its 2024-25 season against Kansas City. It's tough to ask these questions because, you know, the Windsurge this year didn't have a good team. The previous 2 years, they had a really good team because the Twins. And the Twins are seen to have a very good farm system, but it did not translate into Double A this year. How important is it for the Thunder to have a good season and make the playoffs?
Well, for many reasons, it's important. We haven't made the playoffs enough in the last few years. I mean, honestly, what, since 2013, which I talked about, we made the playoffs twice. Now we haven't won a playoff series since 2013. So, yeah. Now, granted, we were in the CHL in those early years, and there was a 8 to 10 to 12 team league. Now we're in a 20, we've always been in a 26 to 30 team league, which, as you know, it's a lot harder to win. But got to make the playoffs. You know, obviously, coach knows that it's real important for us to make the playoffs this year. And he's, you know, Bruce always tells me he's, you know, Bruce has won a lot of championships. He has won a lot. Junior hockey, pro hockey as a player, American Hockey League as an assistant coach. He's won everywhere he's gone. He was the coach of the year in this league a couple years ago. So we've got to be the team. It's important for our fans. It's important for us. It's important for coach. It's you got to make the playoffs. You know, you can't be – I want to be that team that – and I said this because the last 2 years we've been eliminated from the playoffs on the last weekend of the season. 2 years in a row, last weekend of the season eliminated from the playoffs. I want to be that team that on March 1st knows that you're in the playoffs. You're not like, oh, boy, we got a month left. We're right there. We're in a four-team battle. No, let's be that team in the top three that's not battling for that spot the last week and the last month and a half of the season. So that's the important thing. But, you know, you touched on something right before that, previous to your last question. I was talking to the owner of the Fort Wayne Comets at league meetings last week, and I was like, man, sure would be nice. Wouldn't it be nice just to get to that 32 in the NHL, just fulfills our team? And he said to me, he's like, Joel, I don't want to give up control of my roster. So that's another thing. We have teams in this league, and, you know, Florida, Fort Wayne, Toledo, teams that win all the time. These are teams that they have a team for the purpose of just kicking butt on the ice, and they want to build their team. And sure, it's great they'll get a few players from above, but they want to build their team themselves. Then there's owners in this league and GMs like myself who would love to have it be supplied to us, and then maybe you fill in a couple guys. So that's another thing that you'd have to get through. I mean, if it was something to vote on, I don't know if all the owners would even go for it. But
Joel T. Lamerno with us, guest hosting today. The schedule is always interesting because the league is so spread out now. And, of course, you play most of your games in your division. But there are that handful number of games that you play outside of your division. What's the toughest road trip on the schedule this year?
Well, we don't have a lot of tough road trips because one thing they've done over the years is they've realized with cost and whatnot.
You can fly now.
Well, yeah, and we've been flying for years now. We fly every year to Utah and Idaho. I got real lucky last year. We played Utah and Idaho on back-to-back weeks. So we flew to Idaho, took a bus from Idaho to Utah, and then played in Utah and flew back from Utah. So it was only one round-trip flight. Which was awesome. And I asked for that this year. Again, obviously it didn't work out. So, but Southwest is very inexpensive, and I don't have to pay for bags. And if you're not familiar with hockey, those bags are big. They're big and they're heavy. And we have 24 of them, plus our stick bags, and not to mention all the players' travel bags. So Southwest is tremendous. I booked our trip to Utah in July. I booked our trip to Idaho in September or August. And now we have a new team in our league, if you're not familiar with it, in Lake Tahoe.
Wow. That'd be an awesome trip.
Well, they're in our division, so we'll be making that trip. And, you know, obviously the Vegas Golden Knights. Well, a couple years ago, they put a AAA team in Henderson called the Henderson Silver Knights. Well, now they put a AA team in Tahoe called the Tahoe Night Monsters. So all of their players will now be in the state
in Nevada.
In Nevada. So we go there the last weekend of the season. I haven't booked that yet, but there's some concern with teams in the league because you have to fly into Reno, and then you have to drive across the mountains to get to Tahoe. That's how it works.
I've done that.
Well, I was like, when the schedule came out, I was like, oh, that's awesome. We get to go to Tahoe in April. I'm not going to have to worry about weather. Well, they had a blizzard there in May. So
we'll see
how it goes. But, yeah, so we fly to those places. Obviously, a lot of bus trips to Allen, Tulsa, Kansas City. And then we have a trip, in Iowa. We also go to Iowa. But then we have one trip where we go out to Toledo, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, no. I mean, every now and then they'll send us to Atlanta or Greenville or whatnot. But
you know, our friend Jason Duda, who's frequently on this show, can barely get up and down. I mean, the kid is a wreck. And he blames that some on playing hockey for most of his life, but some of it also on the bus trips. So the players today don't have that problem. Well, they, not that they're never on a bus.
No, they don't.
Not like Duda was.
Well, no, they don't, because, I mean, I was the broadcaster back then, so I was on those trips with him, and we were on a bus, which was a seated coach, and then you folded up those bunks to make, you know, the four seats or whatever. You'd fold those four into two bunks. Metal, not, you know, not sturdy, bumpy. No, they weren't fun. You know, in the last 5, 7, 8 years now, we're on a fancy bus with the, everyone's got their own bunk with power and electricity and a phone cord, and we got bathrooms, we got a kitchen, we got a bathroom.
Beautiful. So
travel in style, yes, a lot more. You can walk around. Like, you, like, there weren't even enough bunks back in those days when we were traveling, and, you know, people would be, you know, sleeping on the floor, rookies sleep on the floor. And I remember a specific trip where one of our players, we were going to Memphis, and we had just hit the Arkansas border, and one of our players had food poisoning or the flu, and he threw up all over the bus. So we had to make a stop. I mean, I could write a book about the stories, but I'll just leave it at that.
Well, with all this wonderful travel now, where's the romance in minor league hockey anymore? Huh? Where's the struggle? Where's the day-to-day adversity?
Nah, no more buses catching on fire and pulling into a building that's 80 years old. You know, there was a team in our league in the you know how you call it, the early 2000s, the aughts. I thought that was the word, in Austin. And their dressing room was not attached to the building. So you'd have to leave the building, take a, you know, the rubber mat walkway to this outhouse, which was your locker room. And the arena actually had a balcony where fans could throw stuff and spit on you as you went. So, yeah.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Bernie Miklas, longtime journalist, columnist, opinion person in the city of St. Louis, certainly has ties a lot of other places, but St. Louis has been his thing. And I like to visit with him a couple times a year. I like, and indulge me, people. We're going to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals next. Bernie Miklas, stay with us.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
We'll roll with it. Here's my friend Bernie Miklas, longtime journalist, radio guy in the city of St. Louis, busier than ever. Bernie, how are you?
Bob, I'm doing great, and as always, it's good to be with you, and I wanted to say hello to Joel and wish the Thunder a good, I think it's the Thunder, right? I'm screwing this up. The Thunder.
It is the Thunder.
I know.
Bernie, I got it.
I wrote it down. I wrote it down and then forgot about it. See, that's what happens when I get old. But good luck on the start of your hockey season.
I got to commend and thank you because your pronunciation of my first name was very East Coast. You said Jowl. You said something like a Jowl. You two syllabled it, and that's kind of like what my mom and my older brother used to call
me. There you
go. So good job on that. Thank you.
You're an East Coaster. I grew up in the Baltimore, D.C. area. So, yeah, that we do have our own little dialect, I guess.
We do.
Bernie Miklas with us. Let's get right into it. And first, let me commend you on your new YouTube channel, relatively new. I look at it every day, especially when you talk about the Cardinals. That's my bias. I've been a Cardinals fan, as you know, forever and ever. And it's really well done. I love hearing what you have to say. You don't pull any punches. I appreciate that as someone who tried not to pull punches when I was in the media. So congratulations on that, addition to everything else you're doing, Bernie.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Bob. I've enjoyed it. You know, we're up to nearly 6,000 subscribers, which is a lot for a YouTube channel. And, you know, I've actually been doing this about a little less than a month or a little more than a month. So, we're off to a good start. I have a lot to say and a lot to share and a lot of research to kind of, used to put things in perspective. And the comment section is great, too. I would advise people to go for that if they just want a good place to talk about Cardinals baseball, because there's a lot of good opinions in there. Most, and I'd say 95% of it is really civil, so it's good stuff. Thanks for giving me a chance to promote it. You just do youtube.com/@Bernie Show. So anyway, thanks, Bob.
There you go. So let's get into the Cardinals, because what a year it was, what an off season it's going to be. I think we are in agreement that John Mozeliak, we can question the wisdom of bringing him back for what essentially will be a lame duck year as director of baseball operations. Chaim Bloom ready to take over that spot. I think he should be taking it over now, as you do. What's going to happen in this offseason? How are Cardinals fans going to look at all this when opening day rolls around? What's your opinion on that? I'm asking you to look into the future a little bit.
Well, listen, I hope the Cardinals, I'll just start with this. I hope the Cardinals aren't going to try to spin it like, oh, no, we're going to contend. Oh, no, our goal as always is to make the postseason and then go from there. I think Cardinals fans would respect it if the Cardinals played it really straight with them. Because, listen, the Cardinals have been really good for a long time. I did a little thing recently, and I talked about, you know, since Mozeliak's been the general manager of present baseball operations, they've had one losing season. And I know that's not like the definitive measure. But my point is, the Cardinals have had one losing season since 2008. The Dodgers have had one, and the Yankees have had none. And the other 27 franchises have had at least five losing seasons, and some of them, a good deal number of them, have had nine or more losing seasons. My point being is that even though the Cardinals have flattened out in recent years in terms of postseason success, they've been very consistent through the years. So now that's a long setup from what I'm about to say, but I was trying to, you know, give some perspective to this. They're overdue for a soft rebuild. They're overdue for a reset or a whatever you want to call it, a renovation. I mean, they've kind of put this off for a long time. They ended the era when Molina retired, Pujols retired, Wainwright retired, some other players. They kind of shifted it into a whole new era. And it makes sense at this point in time, in my opinion, to just kind of recognize where you are. You need to get on a higher track, and it's okay to reset or have a soft rebuild for a couple of years. So that's where I think they're headed in 2025. And I'm okay with that. I really am okay with that. Because the one thing I don't want, Bob, and I know the one thing you don't want, is for them to sign more free agents, and basically with John Mozeliak doing a bad job with that in recent years, I don't want to see them throw away more money. I'd rather have Chaim Bloom take over after next season and then have him make the spending decisions. And I'd also like to have him, if they're going to go one more year with Ollie Marmol, and I would like to have him hire the next manager, not John Mozeliak. So I would prefer a blank slate start for Chaim Bloom. And I think what this means is the Cardinals will be looking around. They're going to put the word out. Some of their guys will be available in trade, like Ryan Helsley, who's an excellent closer, but he can become a free agent after one more year. His value's never been higher. You probably get a lot for him. Sonny Gray's got 2 years left on a reasonable contract. If he wants a chance to go to a winner, a serious contender, he'd probably be open to a trade. I think you could get a good amount for Sonny Gray. Maybe Wilson Contreras. Maybe if Arenado wants out and he lets them know, maybe they'd have to eat some of the contract. Maybe they could move him. I think they're going to look to move some people off the payroll to make sure that in a true soft rebuild, just to open it up so they can have room for more young players and give all those guys a full run rather than just sort of messing with them, you know, up and down. Let them play for a year. So that's kind of where I see it going.
Talking now with Bernie Miklas, one thing I've gathered from watching baseball this year, and especially the playoffs, the National League is loaded right now. Whatever the Cardinals do, it's gonna take some time to catch some of these teams. You're talking about teams that spend a lot of money, teams that have superstars, teams that are in really good places for the foreseeable future. Do these folks take that into account? And it further solidifies your viewpoint and mine that it's okay to take some time and be thoughtful in this rebuilding process.
Well, your point about the league's getting tougher, it's true, and the NL Central's getting tougher in particular. And listen, the NL Central teams have not done well in the postseason, and that's, to me, a separate issue. But we all know Milwaukee's smarter than just about everybody with the things they manage to do, you know, regular season success consistently. They've taken over the NL Central division despite spending a lot less money or having a lot less revenue available than the Cubs and the Cardinals. So Milwaukee's not going anywhere. They're really good. I know David Bell personally, and I like him a lot, but he was a terrible manager, frankly. And now that you swap out David Bell and you hire Terry Francona, all of a sudden that puts the Cincinnati Reds in an entirely new light. Because we know they're loaded with talent. I think Craig Counsell in the second year in Chicago, I think they'll take a big step forward next year. And I think you look at Pittsburgh, and while their offense is nothing special, they have the makings of a fabulous starting rotation stocked with young pitchers. So the Cardinals are going to have to take a – you know, it's one of those things. They're going to have to take a step back in order to get – to move up and to get as good as most of those teams or a lot of teams, they're not going to do it by staying in the middle lane, you know, staying in this one, like in the middle of the track where they're not exactly a serious contender, but it's like they don't want to tell their fans, well, we have to rebuild for a couple years. If they stay in that position, it's only going to get worse. So some Cardinals fans have said to me, they protest what we have said, about, hey, we don't want John Mozeliak spending any more dumb money. So some of the fans, with all due respect to them, would say, well, no, look, they won 83 games. If they go out and get this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy and they spend some money, it's like, no, thank you, because I don't trust the guy who would be doing the spending. And I don't want Chaim Bloom to take over a bigger mess than he already has in 2026. You know what I mean?
Yep. Bernie, we live in Royals country here in Wichita, of course. We carry their games here on KFH Radio. It just so happens that you did a video yesterday that pertained to the Royals and how the Cardinals might look at the Royals and the model that they've used to turn things around and maybe, use some of that as they go forward.
Right.
What the Royals have done this year, and I think they're going to go to the World Series, it's just remarkable.
And the thing of it is, all right, the Royals are so interesting to me because this is only the third time in 39 years they've been in the postseason. So I had Cardinals fans saying to me, well, why are you saying the Cardinals can learn from them? And they got the context all wrong. I'm not saying the Royals are going to be a dynasty. My point is that the Royals had to enter into another kind of rebuild, if you will. And in the middle of that, they brought in J.J. Piccolo, who's an excellent president of baseball operation. And what he did is completely revamped their baseball operation, did a lot in the minor leagues. He brought in a lot of smart people. I mean, a lot of smart people. They invested heavily in getting their analytics department up to speed. And actually, from what I hear, my sources in Major League Baseball, the Royals may have one of the three or four best analytics department in the majors. I mean, since Piccolo came aboard, he's hired 30 different new people and made sure that they're strong in all areas of player development. Their model's got a lot of good people running this department, that department, this department. They have a uniform hitting approach, which I don't think people have talked about enough. Like, for example, the Cardinals are a team this year who looked at way too many called strikes, especially when they had runners in scoring position. They just stood there with the bat on their shoulders. They wouldn't swing at pitches right down the middle. I noticed that the Royals are an excellent contact hitting team, plus they punish strikes. They don't watch strikes go by. And the interesting thing is when the Cardinals hit a strike and they put the ball in play and the Royals do the same thing, the Royals' production is a ton better. And that tells me that one of the things the Royals want is they want a uniform approach to hitting. They want the swing mechanics to be really sound at every level of the minor leagues. Swing mechanics. So when you make contact, you're going to get something out of it. And that harkens back to the Cardinals' problem with a lot of their young players. They all come up and they all have a different approach, and they're all over the place. There's not kind of a model for how, hey, this is how we like to do it as the Cardinals. The Royals, hey, this is how we like to do it. This is going to be our approach. The Cardinals have never, under this regime in the last several 7-8 years, they've never really defined what their approach is at the plate or what their approach is at other areas. They don't have a guiding philosophy. So the Royals have gotten really, really smart, and they've invested a lot of money in infrastructure. And I think their manager is fantastic. And what did he do? He's a guy that worked with Terry Francona. He's a guy that worked a long time in that Tampa Bay system. And when he came over, he hired Tampa Bay coach to be his bench coach, and he hired another guy that worked for Terry Francona. So the Royals have, top to bottom, very, very smart people that are guiding the franchise. And this is exactly what the Cardinals need. That was my point of saying, hey, you can learn something from the Royals, and you should try to. Because look at what they did in short time, just by making sure they were as smart as could be, and they had everything they needed to be as smart as they could be.
Bernie, we touched a bit earlier when you weren't on here that I'm kind of a Phillies fan because I grew up there. My family's had season tickets since 71.
Sure.
I became a Cubs fan in 81 when my favorite player, Larry Boa, was traded to the Cardinals. Do you remember the throw into that trade?
The Cubs.
What did I say? Trade to the Cubs. Do you remember the throw-in in that trade?
Sandberg?
Yeah, the Ryan Sandberg. So, yeah, and I know Ryan Sandberg's probably a, you know, Bob, never forget that game.
I don't want to talk about that.
Exactly.
This.
So, For me, my playoffs with the last week of the season was watching the Cubs. I wanted them to win their last game so they finished a game ahead of the Cardinals. That was actually my playoffs from the Cubs standpoint. But you mentioned that, you know, I appreciate your comment on what it would take for St. Louis, and you think Chicago is going to be better, and you love the manager in Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh's got some good pitching. But realistically, if you're going to talk about improving a team, the easiest way to do it is the NL Central, because you don't have to compete with the Phillies and the Mets and the Braves. You don't have to compete with the Dodgers, the Padres. So I think, truth be told, like you said, for the Cubs and the Cardinals and or the Reds, it's not going to take that much to compete to get to that division, because Milwaukee's, you know, the lesser of the three division teams, you know, leaders.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, it's a great observation, Joel. It really is. And the thing of it is, that's why I say the Cardinals, I use the term rebuild because I'm not afraid to use it. It's like the Cardinals are afraid to use it. And I don't know why. I mean, there's different kinds of rebuilds. I think the Cardinals are into like kind of a soft rebuild or a moderate rebuild. And to your point, sir, it'll take them like 2 years to kind of reset this thing. And I'm not even saying the 2 years will be awful. I mean, they might be pretty decent, pretty good in 2026. But I think 2025, for sure, this is a transition year. You're getting ready to hand it over to a new president of baseball operations. He's spending this entire year focusing entirely on resetting and rebuilding the Cardinals farm system, player development system, which has just fallen apart. And that's the biggest mistake Bill DeWitt has made. Because that used to be his thing, player development. Minor leagues are really important. Branch Rickey started it all. You know, they have this sacred tradition almost. I don't know why Bill got away from that. So they're trying now to rebuild this great traditional Cardinal strength, which is the farm system. And I'm glad that Chaim Bloom's doing it, because he did a heck of a job with that, not only in Tampa Bay, but in Boston. When he took over in Boston, the Red Sox had the number 30. They were the dead last farm system rating in the sport, and this year, you know, and it's only like a little bit more than a year after he was fired, in August of this past season, they were number 3. So they went, and the reason they're number 3 of all the guys that he drafted, so they went from 30 to 3rd in basically two and a half years. So this is the guy to do that job, and I'm glad in a way. I wanted to see him, like Bob Lutz did, take over in terms of like this year, run everything this year. But the more I think about it, and also knowing that Chaim Bloom specifically requested, this is a big job. I need to take care of the farm system first. That thing needs to be fixed. That needs all of my attention. And I think that's a smart way to look at it. You know, rather than have him trying to do everything all at once, I don't have a problem with the reason why they did what they did, because you know why? Because this is how Chaim Bloom wanted to do it. So I would defer to him, you know? But yeah, I just hope Mosaic doesn't screw anything else up. That's all.
Before I let you go, Max, I'll get out of this interview. I promise. We're running against time. Quickly, Bernie, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Give me
sure.
one positive attribute of John Mosaic, because you know him much better than I do. And my version of John Mosaic is what I'm presented in interviews and media. And he just comes across as snarky and glib. He can't be that all the time. So give me something positive before you go.
Gosh, I'm trying. And listen, man, I like Mo personally. And Mo, his entire reign in office overall, it's going to go down as a really outstanding 16, 17 years as the general manager. But the thing that I appreciate about what he did the most was that he kept a good team going after losing La Russa, after losing Pujols to free agency, after Dave Duncan retired. He made some really good signings, some really good trades, and kept the Cardinals near the top for several years after that. And he also healed a terrible division in the front office after Jeff Luhnow came in, and him and Walt Jocketty got into a blood feud, and it just tore the organization apart. And John Mozeliak actually brought everybody together, and that was followed by, with Jeff Luhnow's work on the farm system and the draft, the Cardinals all of a sudden just went up a next level and had a great run for a long time. And a big part of that was because John Mozeliak brought that thing together. It was a terrible, divided organization. But he just got Stalen the job. You know, he's got Stalen the job, and it's, you know, he even knows it's time to go because he's the one that said he wanted to go after 2025. Thank you, Bob.
All right. I still don't like him, but good effort. I appreciate it, Bernie. Always a pleasure.
I wasn't going to change your mind. That's all right. I knew I was a losing proposition right there.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. Hey, thank you, and we'll get you on again.
Sure. Thank you.
Bernie Miklas joining us, talking about the Cardinals. Thanks for indulging me, everybody. I do appreciate it. We got a little Royals talk there as well. Tomorrow, Jeff will be back. We'll talk with Shelby Werman, head football coach at Cheney High School, as well as Joe Auer, the head basketball coach for boys at Heights. Want to get his thoughts on the recent increase in the number of games at the high school level from 24. I'll look it up. But they're going to play more games. So we'll have those folks on, and then we'll make our picks. Jason Duda won the picks last week. Maybe the first time ever he's done that.
Having listened to this show, I can tell you it probably is a first or second.
Yeah, he doesn't do well on picks, but he did well last week.
Is he still picking purposely against Jeff? There's a time Duda when he lets used to do that all the time.
Duda lets too many things get into his head. And, you know, there's not that much room in there anyway. So what goes in, something has to come out. And usually the trade-off's not that good for him. So we have Joel T. Lamerno. He's been good enough to co-host the show today. Wichita Thunder on home ice a week from Friday against Kansas City, the opener of the season. You mentioned you have a lot of home games early in the season. That's kind of a good thing, right? Does that build interest, build momentum?
You know, it's good if you're good. If you have a good start to the team and you win your home games early, I mean, from that standpoint, that's great. It could be great to build a momentum, sure. Personally, I'd like to, you know, spread things out. Last year was probably our best year from a ticket sales standpoint since, you know, the championship days, because our schedule was so spread out. You know, it's six games here, six games that month, six. So now we've got you can't take a break. I've told my staff, and they're all listening right now. I know that. So they're tired of hearing me say, if we drop the ball in November, it's going to be a tough season. We've got to crush November attendance and ticket sales, you know, so lots of games early. But, you know, this is one of those years where you've got NCAA
have the NCAA tournament coming to.
And the figure skating championships as well. So there's some big events the second half of the season, which, you know, push us to early in the season. But lots of good weekend dates and lots of good promotion. So, yeah, But again, from a player standpoint, if you got a good squad, you come out of the gates hot and you win those, you know, you win those games, you know, you can take advantage early.
And you feel like you're in a pretty good place marketing, promotion wise, you're ready to roll.
We've got a lot of stuff out there. My staff's been telling me they've been hearing the spots. We've got some good TV coverage from Cake, which is our exclusive TV partner. You know, our ads are out there. It'll really kick more in gear towards the end of this week, early next week. But yeah, sales are great. Our corporate sponsorships have been great. Our season ticket numbers are at their highest ever. So, you know, the support's been great. But, you know, I want to reward the fans.
And where's your office now?
Just down the street here at the Supercar Guys building.
Okay.
The former Italian Garden.
I know where that is.
Our owner, Brandon, you know, owns that building. And he completely renovated it for the Thunder a couple years ago. It's amazingly nice. Conference rooms, little bays that you can have private meetings in. Tons of storage and... you know, I'm a West Sider, so I like the location, too.
Sure.
I'm not going to lie.
Well, I appreciate you coming in today. Jeff would not be doing well.
I was going to ask you, your prediction, what's Jeff's demeanor going to be tomorrow? What's your prediction?
It won't be great, you know, because unless the Guardians figure out a way to get some runs, but right now in a bullpen game for Detroit, the Tigers lead it 2-0, even though they've been out hit by Cleveland 5-3. Cleveland's got to figure out a way to score, and that's been their bugaboo for quite some time now.
You can say that about a few teams too.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those things. Detroit doesn't score a lot either, but you knew this would be who had the best pitching. Both teams are very similar. They like to use their bullpens, and right now the Tigers getting to the late innings where it becomes even harder. Jeff's probably not in a great place at this moment.
It's 2-0, not 4-0. There's your benefit.
2-0.
That's your benefit right now.
It's doable.
Yeah.
Except when you can't score, 2-0 might feel like 4-0.
True. But yesterday when we were listening, I was listening in the car on the way home from work, and when that 2-0 Mets lead went to 4-0, that's when I thought
that killed you.
I thought that was it. Yeah.
That killed you.
Yep.
We've got a bunch of games tonight. All four series are in play.
Are you the guy that stays up all night?
I used to be, but I can't anymore.
So you did not see the end of the game last night?
I did not see the end of the game.
It was only about 10:30.
I recorded it and watched it this morning.
All right.
So that's I can make it till about 10. But I'm telling you, my friend, when you got a kitchen remodel and you're working and you're almost 70, the hours creep up on you.
What happened to Misty?
She went upstairs.
Okay.
Thank you again.
Pleasure.
Joel
anytime, Lamarna, anytime.
Our co-host today. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to Max back in the studio. Have a good evening.
Hey, guys. Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.